This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
It's time to rewind. You're listening to Christchurch East History Half Hour on Plains FM 96.9. I'm Freddie.
And I'm Talis, sharing stories of the good old days of the east side of Christchurch with the help of the New Brighton Museum. Welcome back to Christchurch East History Half Hour. I'm Talis, and in today's episode, we will be focusing on New Brighton.
And I'm Freddy, and for today we'll play an interview I did. I interviewed Quinton Sumner from the New Brighton Museum about the history of New Brighton.
So, Quinton has done a lot of research around the area, and will tell us a bit about the history of New Brighton.
We're also going to have a bit of music to break things up, but before we have the interview, let's have a bit of a chat about New Brighton. So tell me, Talis, what do you know about New Brighton? Have you been there? Is it a good place?
Well, yes, I've been to the fireworks display there. They have every New Year's, I believe it is. And they're quite fantastic, in my opinion.
That's always good. Yeah. And has that been something you've been doing for quite a while?
No, it's started to become a family tradition about 2 years ago, 2 years running now.
Oh, that's quite good.
What about you, Fred? Any good memories like that with the family around there?
Oh, I always remember going out to the pier and walking down to the end, and we used to go and play at the wee park there, and we'd always get an ice cream. It was lovely memories of New Brighton, and I still go there today. I do a bit of voluntary work at the New Brighton Museum, so it's a wonderful place.
Yeah, I go for a little shop around there. They got their, factory clothes shop there. Got some good bargains there.
That good?
Yep, very good.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, no, there was a wee bit of shopping we did there. It wasn't a lot. We mainly just went to go to the pier and go have an ice cream. And recently I've been to the new hot pools out there. You been there?
I've heard about these mysterious hot pools. Heard good things, but I haven't tried it yet.
Yeah, they're really good. The hot pools are nice, and they've got this thing called a plunge pool.
Plunge pool?
Yeah, it's a relatively deep pool, and it's freezing cold. So the idea is that you plunge into it and sort of wake yourself up, and then you move into the hot pools. And supposedly when you get into the hot pools, it's tingling. You know, you get this tingling sensation. But I wasn't quite brave enough to go into the plunge pool, but I went in the hot pools. Yeah, they were pretty good.
Nice.
You'll have to go.
Yeah, we'll have to go sometime, friend. Maybe we'll go after this. We'll see. You never know.
Never know. And so, keeping with New Brighton, what I think we will do now is we're going to play a song. So we have the interview with Quinton Sumner, who belongs to the New Brighton Museum, and he'll tell us a bit about the area. That will be after the song. This is In the Summertime, which Talis has selected. And who's that by, Talis?
Well, this song is by Thirsty Mick, and I think it really signifies the summery beauty of the beachside of New Brighton.
Really. It's one of my favourite songs.
Yeah.
sometime in June, I'll say, take me back to the sweet times, the hot nights. Everything is gonna be alright in the summertime. Baby, in the summertime. And even if I have to wait till next year, I don't care. All I know is that I'll meet you there in the summertime. Baby, in the summertime. Take me back to the sweet times, the hot nights. Everything is gonna be alright in the summertime. Baby, in the summertime. And even if I have to wait till next year, I don't care. All I know is that I'll meet you there in the summertime. Baby, in the summertime. Baby, in the summertime. Baby, in the summertime.
And that was In the Summertime by Thirsty Mick.
What a wonderful song, though. One of my favourites. Mm. So now we've got that interview I did with Quentin Sumner, who belongs to the New Brighton Museum, and will tell us a bit about the area. Now, I could have gone on and on and on just listening to this interview, but we had to keep it to a certain time frame. So, but it's a great interview, and I think you'll love this one today.
Let's hear it.
Okay, so I'm joined with Quentin Sumner again. Now, we interviewed Quentin in the very first episode about the New Brighton Pier, and it was very interesting. I thought we should interview him again because, you know, he's a historian down at the New Brighton Museum and he's a very knowledgeable person. So we'll get to the topic in a minute, but first I'll let Quentin just introduce himself.
Hi, my name's Quentin Sumner. I've been working for the New Brighton Museum and District Society since 2007. I enjoy meeting people and I enjoy history very much, and I love the involvement of meeting local people and people from outside Christchurch to know more about the history of New Brighton, the seaside suburb.
So Quentin is a historian here, and he spends a lot of time at the museum researching and looking into things. And one thing that he talked to me about was just the general history of New Brighton, and with these shows usually we focus on a specific topic, but actually I thought, why not just have a look at sort of an overview, and as we would usually do in these episodes, we'll run a bit of a timeline. So what I'm going to do is pass the microphone over to Quentin and get him to just start from the beginning, and I'll let him just tell a bit of a story about the history of New Brighton.
One of the most interesting pieces about New Brighton that a lot of people don't know, or who are from overseas, that New Brighton's coastal line was about 1,000 years old right through the township near the River Avon. So it was about 500 metres from the sea, from the sea that we've got right now with a pier. But also about 5,000-6,000 years ago, they found a seal in the middle of Christchurch City Cathedral Square near the Clarendon Hotel. So the coastal sea used to come right through the city of Christchurch. Now, coming back to 1,000 years ago, that's not all that long ago, where the coastal sea came right through the town of New Brighton. So, and it's changed quite a lot of it over the last 100 years, where the coastal sea has come drifted back in towards the foreshore. One of the interesting things that I like about Brighton is its beaches, but its bay. It's really it's named Pecos's Bay, and that was named after ship Pecos's by Captain S. Chase, who discovered it in 1809, and this is before Captain Cook discovered that in 16 February 1770. He called it Banks Island. That was a peninsula. That was when he came back. Yeah, he thought this was an island, but then he found it was a peninsula. So Pegasus Bay is a big area that you could probably go right up to Amberley, and that comes right through the Sumner. So it's a very interesting area. One of the early sort of settlers, when they started to naming the area, was the Sandhills ones. Was the name given to all the land between River Avon and the beach running from Estuary to Styx River. A run of 5,000 acres was taken up by Chisnell and Wood in 1852. It's interesting, there's a school named after the Chisnell and Wood. It was called Chisnell Wood School. It was a rental area of one farthing an acre, so that's quite interesting, to be stacked at the rate of one sheep to 20 acres. After changing hands, the run was abandoned. I think one of the most important things about in New Brighton and the area, the district areas, is if you climb up the Linwood Cemetery, up the tallest part, you can actually see the little bit of the city, but you can see the sand in the cemetery, because that's included in the districts. That one of the first settlers in the New Brighton district was William Walker, who was his wife Elizabeth and six-month-old son Walter John Walker. William Walker was one of the original settlers here that came in from Christchurch in the 1850 boats. And in 1852, built a sod house at Walker's Reach, Herring Bay. That's about 4 kilometres from central Brighton. It's in South Brighton. On 10 acres of land, he grew vegetables and sold milk and butter. He also caught herring and whitebait, taking boatloads, what I believe boatloads, to sell in Christchurch. William Walker, if you could put this way, he was more of a squatter, and it wasn't until the 1870s where he actually paid for it. He was squatting there for a while and doing his whitebait and catching herring. So there was a plentiful piece. One of the original early sort of people to come up the River Avon were the Deans brothers, came up through there, and in the early days they said it was the River Avon was crystal clear, so you could drink out of it. I don't think we could do that today, also swim in it too, but not so much today. The name New Brighton was given in honour of Stephen Brooker, who came from Brighton, England. Stephen Brooker, together with David Hamilton, Thomas and William Free, father and son, and Enoch Barker, had arrived there before April 1860 and set about constructing homes for themselves along the river. Just a little bit background on Stephen Brooker. As he said, he came from Brighton, England. From what I gather, he was a cab driver. Many things he did, and he used to do that in the Cathedral Square. Enoch Barker was the original curator of the Provincial Gardens, that's the Botanical Gardens. So they had quite an interesting life, because they had to come out on here and start the new life. It was pretty hard going with swamp and tussock and manuka, so they had quite a hard job. And it was in December the 16th, 1863, they met William Guise Britton of the Provincial Council and two others on a tour on an inspection of the River Avon, arrived in the small paddle steamer at the Pioneer's Wharf. That's where now where the Boa Hotel is, and met William and Thomas Free, Stephen Barker, and David Hamilton, and Enoch Barker. And he said, "What would you like to name this area?" And it was chosen Stephen Brooker after Brighton, and he chalked it in a little on a wee manuka piece of wood, and he chalked it Brighton, and they said, "Let's put a New Brighton." In fact, there's a story. There is another New Brighton that's over the other side of the Mersey in England, actually, but it's another story. In the early days of the quest was to make this a well-known seaside suburb. That didn't start to eventuate till the 1880s, when George Hawker came down. In the early 80s, George Hawker built a hall on the corner of Seaville Road and Esplanade. This was later as the Kiora Tea Rooms. George Hawker also gave Bexley its name after small town of Bexley in Kent, England. By this time, he acquired quite an area of property both in New Brighton and Bexley. As the town started to develop in 1885, gradually with the area, there were shops, open roads and streets, and also the school was formed in 1884. Also the early post office. One of the interesting facts about Mr. Guy's Britain of the Provincial Council was that he also owned the land around Lansdowne, that's in Taitapu, that's south of Horswell. He owned that land too. So this was officially recognised and recorded by Guy's Britain and his party to start New Brighton in 1860. Just coming back to George Hawker, it was his suggestions to start a seaside suburb. They decided to have boats along the River Avon. One of the early boating was in 1870s. We used to have steamers coming up from Brighton and going into the city. That was the early part of the era.
That's very interesting, and naming it after Brighton in England, it's quite fitting with Christchurch, as we used to be quite an English city. So now let's move forward a few decades, and so we come into a time that people nowadays would remember, and people would still be alive to remember it. So we're talking probably, 50s, 60s, 70s, when we had our shopping in the weekend. I thought it was really interesting to hear about the shopping, and I would still like to know a bit more about it. So maybe you could tell me about shopping in the area.
Well, I go back to the late 60s. I was a young little lad, and we used to come down here to the golf course, because we knew the manager very well. My mother were great friends for many years, and they run the golf course. So we used to come down here on a Saturday, but we couldn't get any car park because we lived in Rangiora and we couldn't find a car park, so we used to leave it at the golf course to get in. And it was a bit of a walk for a young little lad like me, and just seeing all the shops and people just everywhere around, from right down Sifu Road, right down Beresford Street, around Shore Avenue, and every street that was in the inner part of Brighton. You had milk bars, you had two banks, you had a couple chemists, the post office was open. There were all kinds of shops like Woolworths, Beast's, fruit and veg. I think there was a Countdown, there was a shop down here, Gracie's. They just about had everything here. Also in the 60s, television used to come, had shops. They just about had every amenity. Surf shops, that was a big thing. The pier had gone by that time, but they had the Shoreline, a lot of tea shops, milk bars. They had, as I said, the Shoreline was for music. During the 1970s, I remember the Commonwealth Games. That was, again, was very popular. But one of the things that struck me about Brighton in that period, that on that Saturday shopping, was that it didn't seem to, we used to come in probably in the afternoon, and it wasn't ever, it seemed to be still as busy as when they were opening. So it merely means that if you lived, say, in Rangiora or outside, and you needed to go to a chemist or get anything, you had to come to literally Brighton. I have heard of people from Ashburton that had to go and get something, they had to come to New Brighton. I mean, they made a sort of like a special trip, but made a day of it. It was such a popular place, and everybody knew about Brighton. That was the era of Saturday trading. I've heard people have made such enjoyment of coming to Brighton. I mean, I think before, when the first pier was taken down, they used to have arcades and games, ice cream parlours right around the area. That was the most special part of Brighton.
So now, so that, okay, that's quite interesting. You know, people would come literally from Ashburton to come shopping, and it makes sense if New Brighton was the only place. And possibly it could have been a strategic move to try and bring people to the area to make this a place for shopping, but we don't see that weekend shopping now. You know, what do you make of New Brighton? Could the golden years possibly be over, or is it a better place? You know, what is your take on New Brighton today?
Well, I think it's the golden era has gone, but there's a golden era coming back. You've got a new whale pool, you've got the saltwater pools, got new surf clubs. You've got certain shops here that's, I'm just making a plug for a shop, a sports shop. I just about wear everything on this, that's very sporty, from socks to hats. They do have some quality shops here, and they've got some very quality shopkeepers. Just over across the road, we've got the Dog Watch. Got some very good things in there, and the people who work in these shops are very pleasant and outward going to serve their customers. That's part of what I think Brighton is always Brighton. Has been its shopkeepers always, you know, if they haven't got it, well, they'll try and help you to find somewhere or somewhere else. They've got some, yeah, it's always been like that. If they can't find it, they'll try and find it or tell you where you can find something, but very pleasant about it. That's how I found New Brighton.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? You know, and I wasn't around for those shopping days, but, you know, it's good to see that there's a bit of rebuilding taking place and there's things to try and attract people back to the area, because it is a very nice area, as we said. Now, I am thoroughly enjoying this interview, and I could sit here and listen for days for you talk about this stuff, but unfortunately we've hit our 15 minutes. I'm going to have to stop it there, but I really appreciate you coming on again, Quinton, and talking to us about a little bit of history about New Brighton and sharing your storytelling and your wisdom, so thank you.
It's a pleasure. Just to say that New Brighton has still got the golden era there. It may have changed since the 70s and 80s, but it's still got, it's coming back. It's always got something there.
That was Quinton Sumner, a historian and volunteer and committee member at the New Brighton Museum.
And that was Quinton Sumner from the New Brighton Museum talking about the history of New Brighton. Well, that's the show, folks. A special thanks to Quinton, volunteer and committee member at the New Brighton Museum, for his expertise and insights into the history of New Brighton.
And remember, for more information about the history of the area and any other interesting history from the East, you can visit the museum. This is the New Brighton Museum, Tuesday through Sunday, 1 p.m. till 3 p.m. Or you can visit their website at nbmuseum.org.nz. Ngā mihi nui.
Mā te wā.
Check out the Christchurch East History Half Hour podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and also on plainsfm.org.nz. Just search for Christchurch East History Half Hour.
Ngā mihi nui.
Ka kite anō.